Welcome back, friends. This is our third and final part of the series GC Relaunch Hickory. If you're anything like me, you may learn more from the challenges that others have faced. In this particular episode, you will hear real talk where the leaders of GC Hickory share their challenges and hardships corporately and personally. Still, through those challenges, what you will hear is their trust in God during this relaunch. This is a very inspirational episode. Not that the others haven't been, but they definitely get real in this one. So we hope you find inspiration, hope, and some strategies as you move forward in becoming the healthiest expression of church in your target community.
When we were talking about this, the six-month period that our replant core team had, where we were meeting in each other's homes and sharing meals together, we didn't just take 6 months because this core team needed to plan everything out. It was 6 months of developing the congregation also. We would share with the congregation every Sunday what we had talked about in our team meeting and ask for feedback and invite questions and invite ideas. And people knew that they could even just show up at a replant meeting one time if they wanted to. It ended up being just that core team of eight, but people knew they were included, and people knew that we wanted to hear their suggestions, and we talked through things, and we had this six-month period of all of us kind of getting on the same page, or most of us. You know, it was an important time for the whole congregation, not just because we hadn't found a building in 6 months.
Yeah, one of the biggest challenges that we faced in communicating the vision was, look, we're not talking about a relocation here. And we had to really work hard to help the congregation understand this is not just relocating from Hildebrand to Hickory. This is an entirely different expression of being the church. Now that we have been here in Hickory two, going on 3 months, I think all of our members in our church, and even the new people that are coming, have started coming since we've replanted. They're beginning to see what this different expression of being the church is all about, and we're all realizing that, yeah, this was not a relocation. This is an entirely different way of being the church.
How did it go when you were sharing the vision at the beginning of this new expression of church and kind of what was going on in the core team meetings? What was the response from the congregation? Was it everybody on board, ready to go? And
of course.
Yeah, no. It was a mixed bag. I mean, there were people so ecstatic. There had been a hunger
giddy
to do something like this. Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't know what it would look like, they were so ecstatic about it. But there was skepticism. And I don't think skepticism is a bad thing. There was healthy skepticism to ask the right questions. Have you been thinking about this or what about that? So that's why that period, that talking and listening period as a church family, was really important. That everybody felt like they had ownership in where this was going. But eventually, not everybody came along. It's a significant change. And we had talked about this as a core team, that we may incur losses along the way, and we've had some. And a loss is a loss. It saddens you. I mean, we have friends that we wish were connecting with us in our Sunday worship gathering, but they're still friends. We love them, and they love us, and no hard feelings. But I think a good portion, a healthy portion of our church was ecstatic about it, really wanted to do it. And as we started telling, you could see them leaning in, they want to know more. That makes this possible, brother.
Some of the things that I learned the most from is the difficult parts, the challenges. And you guys have shared little bits and pieces here and there of the challenges. I'd like for you guys to speak a little bit more to those challenges.
One of the biggest challenges that we've had, for example, is moving into the building that we meet in, that we worship in, that we are going to be running ministries out of, you know, during the week, when the building is not ready to really be inhabited. We were, in other words, we're still working on it. Here we are 2 months later. We've got a handicapped bathroom that's still halfway complete. There are reasons for that, valid reasons. Painting that is not yet completed.
Yes. Anyway, we won't, some of us have other jobs.
We've got these great projects that to turn this place into just the right place. We see the potential in it. All of us were able to see the potential in this new location from the very beginning, but we could also see all of the work that it was going to take to get it there. So one of the challenges has been using this place as our sanctuary, as our place to meet and worship and fellowship, but it's still under construction and deconstruction, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been a bit of a hurdle. One of our core team members who is going to essentially take that ball and run with it in terms of overseeing some of the construction work that needed to be done, he fell and broke his ankle and was like totally out of commission for like 2 months. And so some of the things that he was gifted to handle, he couldn't handle. So I kind of took the ball and ran with it and ended up mucking up a lot of stuff with that. You know, one of many epic fails I could tell you about here in our conversation tonight. But that's been a challenge. Even though we love this place that we meet at and fellowship in, it's a work in progress, and there's still a lot of work to be done to it. It's a lot more work than I think most of us thought it would be, but it is what it is. We know that God has placed us there, and it's worth the work, you know.
Yeah, not just that we've had gas leaks.
Pointed at me when she. I just want to clarify
natural gas lines.
We've had, you know, fire code inspections. You know, different obstacles.
Roof leaks.
The roof has leaked. It's not just been that, but when you mentioned difficulties or losses, the building that we are coming from, you have to understand, was beautiful and had a full kitchen. It had
a separate
dining area where we could have youth ministry, and it had another smaller room that the young kids could use. It could be a nursery, and then we had the sanctuary. It was ours all the time. We could leave everything set up. Did I mention a full kitchen? Basketball court back.
Beautiful, you know, playground in the back.
In the back. And so if we just wanted to go every week and be comfortable, which we did, I mean, who doesn't, right? It didn't make any sense to move to a smaller location where parking, we have to find parking in the downtown and walk a little way sometimes. You know, we don't have a kitchen. We're putting in like a kitchenette. We only have one single bathroom right now. We're putting
and it's
in.
It's tiny.
You know, so it doesn't make any logical sense. It's like a step down to do this, and yet we're all excited and jazzed about it.
Yeah.
Can I make it personal?
You can make it as personal as you want.
We've been talking about the corporate down and dirty. For me, this replant challenged me in the two areas where I feel and experience scarcity the most. Can I trust God to provide? And that's time and money. Mm. So for me to accept the role as a co-pastor of this church, I knew it was going to place additional demands on my time. I really wrestled with if I had the availability. You know, can I do this? So that was a lot of conversation and time, and of course sharing this pastoral role with Paul David and really everybody on the core team. We're all ministers of the gospel that way. But just having some assurances that we're in this together, you know, that was important for me. So I wrestled with God on that one. I didn't just run into this. And then Elizabeth, for her to accept this position as a community developer for our church, which we believed was critical to the success of what the Lord was leading us to. She would leave her job,
and her compensation would be cut in half to do this. Hmm. That's a substantial hit for our family. And she was, you know, on Elizabeth's part, this is what she had longed to do. So she went to it just, yeah. And I'm in the background going, you know, because I know what this means for us on a very personal level. But the Lord is teaching me through it to trust. And I'm sure this isn't the last time I'm going to deal with this issue of scarcity in my life. But to see her faith and courage, to know it's the right move, to experience God's provision every step of the way through this has fed my faith. But I don't want people who may be considering doing this to think that it's all ponies and rainbows. I had some challenging conversations with God to get into this. And it's, you know, there are times I still, you know, I wonder, you know, is this the best thing for us to do? But I believe it is. I believe it is.
It's that fickle word, faith.
Yeah.
Being able to take a step, do something or believe in something when we don't understand or see.
Yeah. And I don't want to make too much of my faith in this. We, as a church, as a team, and this is one of the things that bonds us together, we trust in the perfect faith of Jesus alone. Because I can tell you, some days I'm like, go God, let's go replant. And some days I want to get out of bed, you know, because it can be overwhelming. And there have been days in this process I have felt overwhelmed. But he has provided. And all of us are excited because Joe, and to our listeners, I look at everything that still needs to be done with our replant, and it can be like, oh, whew. But then I look back over the last year, mm-hmm. where we came from. I mean, it's literally only been a year. Several families have moved. Our church has moved. You feel the level of energy and excitement and togetherness. We are a more vibrant and healthy church because a group of ragtag people said, let's do this, because God first said, let's do this. And even though at times we don't know what we're doing, we see the fruit being born by the work and the faith of Christ. And that's what we lean on wholly, as much as we can.
Thank you for sharing that. Just the realness of it, kind of giving a sneak peek into y'all's lives.
Yeah, you got any money?
No. Joe, if I could just piggyback on what Anthony said, when I became a regional pastor, and when I turned this Hickory church over, when the Lord turned this church over to Dennis Elliott to replace me, I never thought in a million years I would be pastoring a church again. Felt like I had kind of run my course here as a local church pastor. I was excited and still am about my work that I do as a regional pastor. When Dennis and Diana made the decision to pastor the church in Shelby, which is actually basically where they live, they had been coming all the way to Hickory all these years to pastor the Hickory church when they live near Shelby, and we have a GCI church in Shelby. But when they made that decision to go there and to take on that church, I began with my regional pastor hat on, thinking, oh man, who am I going to find to pastor the church in Hickory? And it was about that time that Anthony came to me and said, Petey, how would you like to co-pastor this church together? And I was like, oh man, I don't know that that's what I said, but that's what I felt inside. Because I really just did not, at that point in time, I didn't feel that the Holy Spirit was really calling me back to pastoral ministry of a local church. And I have, like Anthony, I've got so much on my plate as a regional pastor. I was wondering, man, can even with doing this with such a talented guy that I love and like, do I have the time to devote to this? And but as I thought about it, and as Emily and I talked about it and I prayed about it, it just became evident that the Lord was in this thing. I wanted to be a part of this, you know, because this is going to be good. no matter how that's what eventually
it is good.
Became impressed upon me is it is good, and it's only going to get better, and I want to be a part of this. I don't want to just be the regional pastor on the outside looking in. I want to be a part of this thing that participating with Jesus and what he's doing and what he's calling us to do with him here in the Hickory community.
And yet we hold loosely to the results.
Yeah.
Part of the risk of this is we may close our doors in 3 years. I mean, there's no guarantee
we're
going to have longevity and sustainability here. We don't think that's going to happen. We really do believe this is going to continue to grow. But if that happens, if we close our doors, praise be to God, because it's been an amazing experience, and I would never want to go back. You know, this was awesome.
Yeah.
So it is good. But praise be to God, however it plays out.
From an outside perspective, I can see that there's growth. Maybe not numerically, but I can see the excitement and what you guys have been sitting here sharing within this short video or podcast or whatever it's going to be. The stories of the people within your congregation, the fire, the passion, this new excitement that has just come back up to the surface. I mean, just looking at you, PD, as you're sitting here talking, you're like a young college kid, you know, just like super pumped and excited. And it's like, oh, I can't wait, you know. And to me personally, I truly believe that's when you know it's of God, is when it all doesn't make sense. You guys are sitting here sharing these stories, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense on why you guys moved. You had a beautiful facility. You had so many rooms and all the amenities that you could ever imagine for a church, and you guys turned away from that. And you said no to that and yes to what God was leading this congregation to do. And now you're in a much smaller space that needs a ton of work, needs more money put into it, only has one bathroom right now.
What are we doing?
This story doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Except for the fact, the way you guys started off sharing, Christ's love compels you guys. And it's very clear that it's Christ's love compelling you guys to make this move, because it doesn't make any sense. The faith that you have in Jesus' faith,
there you go,
is very, very clear. Because you guys, you don't know where you're going to be in 3 to 5 years. You probably have a vision for where you'd like to be. But Anthony, you mentioned, I think all of you have mentioned at one point, you hold it so loosely.
Yes.
You're not choking it. And so I see the growth in just this little bit that we've been able to sit here and share.
Well, we Anthony and I, we've all talked about this. We have seen spiritual growth just mushroom in our congregation, and really in all of our people, just in the last, you know, 2 or 3 months. But we've also seen numerical growth. There has been numerical growth, new members, brand new people that are attending our church, not just coming on Sunday, but wanting to know how they can serve, wanting to know how they can help, giving financially to the church. So in just a short period of time, we have seen growth of all sorts and kinds, and that has been very encouraging to me. I think it has for all of us. Yeah. But
and just a word to, you know, the work that needs to be done in our hall, and you know, I think we'd been meeting there for several weeks, and it was a beautiful Sunday morning, and I made the comment during worship that isn't it beautiful outside, and it had rained the week before, but and I said something about our first Sunday there, and Anthony said, no, it rained that day too. And I was like, it did? Because it didn't feel like a rainy day. It felt like a bright, it just, there was such a spirit that first Sunday that we held services at our new location. There was just, like, it was the first day of spring or something. That's what it felt like in our congregation.
To wrap up, I want to ask one last question. Would you do it again?
Of course, definitely.
Yes.
You haven't answered yet. No. Petey's like, well, I don't know.
No doubt. We said no to a church building and yes to being the church.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd do it 100 times over.
That's a good word to end on right there, brother. That's a good word. I personally want to thank you guys for not just what you're doing, but I want to thank you for who you are. Because it's out of who you are and who you recognize yourself to be in Jesus is why you do what you do. And to be open and honest and sharing the nitty-gritty stuff, but then also the things that have been working and what you guys have been doing, I thank you guys for being open and honest. And I look forward to a couple of years down the road visiting you guys again and seeing what God has been doing in this Hickory community and what kind of impact he's been having within y'all's congregation into the community.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this GC Relaunch series. As a pastor or church leader, maybe you find yourself reflecting on your church's journey. Whether you are seeing that you may need to relaunch or maybe you're somewhere in the relaunch journey, our desire is that you have found some hope in knowing that you're not alone. And maybe you picked up some strategies from GC Hickory. If you think your church needs to look into relaunching into their target community, then reach out to us at info@gci.org.